Today is a show that's been many, many months in the making. We're pressed for time, but a lot of our guests are too. They're working hard. They're making a lot of great things happen in their world and their industries, but we're really happy for this guest to be on the show today. This is somebody that I met at the New York Toy Fair last year, and we have a lot of great things to talk about, all things nerd. It's going to bring back a very special Easter egg you see on our show plenty of times, and I have one of my co-hosts with me, Monica, on this show on the next episode of Press for Time.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
I feel like Benny's been stalking me since New York Toy Fair to come on the show, and I finally made it on. I feel bad. I did apologise, saying, look, I'm sorry. It was just busy schedules, but it's great to finally be on.
No, thank you again, everybody. We have the co-founder of Numbskull Designs. We have Matt Precious with us again. Real honor to have you here. Like we've said, long time coming. We understand. Believe me, we know how hard you're working. We know all the different brands you represent and all the products that you're continuously coming out with. And we're just happy to have you. So thank you again for taking the time today.
No, it's great to be on.
But how's things going by you? Now we're in the new year. Obviously, the holiday season was the last time that we really connected. And we know how chaotic that can be with new releases and press releases and exclusives. But now we're kind of in that, you know, start in most business cases, that new quarter of the 2025. Like, how's business going for you guys?
Yeah, it's going really well. We're having a really good start to the year. And you never know how it's going to go. Obviously, everyone's aware of what's going on in the world and prices and everything, and everyone's kind of struggling at the moment. So we came into the year going, okay, you know, this is going to be a tough year. We don't sell anything you need. And sometimes you do worry about that, going, okay, people are going to make cutbacks. Is it going to be the ducks that we sell or whatever it is? But it's kind of gone the opposite. We've had a really good year. And I think it goes back a little bit to, I think when times are tough, I think people like to revert back to their childhood or happy times. And I think people are really going back to that collecting and, you know, maybe that more pure time when you were a kid and, you know, going back to those old shows or whatever. So we're seeing the real nostalgia bug hit. So it's been a great start to the year. We plan about a year in advance. So we're kind of on 2025 already. It feels weird. Anytime I have to write the date down, I always forget what year I'm in because I'm always working a year ahead. So we've got some really good products lined up for 2024. Very excited, and now working on 2025. And I think 2025, from an entertainment schedule, is much stronger for next year. I think some of the movies coming out next year. You've got there's the new Superman coming. I think there's new Marvel, new Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. Loads of new TV shows. You've got, I think, Ballerina, the John Wick's gone back a year, which was a bit of a shame. But that's going to be great when that comes out. So I think you look at what's coming out and there's some fantastic shows and stuff coming. So, yeah, the future looks good. You know, the entertainment industry seems to be, writers' strikes and COVID and stuff. But it finally feels now it's starting to kind of come through. So we're very excited with some of the products and stuff we've got coming out.
That's awesome. So I wanted to ask you the most important thing. We know Numbskull has been around for quite some time. And I was actually one of the first editors that worked with your team back in the day. We've talked offline. It's got to come up. We bring it up all the time. The lovely Resident Evil 7.
New York.
And I was like, Resident Evil 2 candles.
Look at that, eh?
Yeah,
it was the most bizarre. You introduced it. This is Benny. He wants to talk to you about the Resident Evil candle. I said, "What?" I had to look it up. You got me thinking about it. I actually went and got one out of the cupboard. This is the only one we have left in our business, and it's I had to go and look at the date. Yeah, 2017.
Wow.
Which is it's crazy, really. It seems many moons ago since we brought it out. But as you say, yeah, we've been going. This is our 11th year as as Numbskull, and it's kind of it's evolved massively over that time, and it's only when people remind you of some of the products we used to kind of do, sort of thing, that God, yeah, the candle, that was just a huge thing for us at the time, and it was a really weird one. I came up with the idea. Obviously, the VR headset was coming out for Resi, and we got a great relationship with Capcom. You know, we make some Capcom products, and we were like, what can we do for the VR? And it just kind of came to us. It was going about the smell and immersing yourself more. And it was just a simple idea, but Capcom really on board with it. They're really good, actually, for and not everyone is, but sometimes you go to them and go, we want to do a candle. And they're like, okay. Yeah, cool. Which is not the reaction you get from every publisher, but it was weird. So we kind of went off and did the research, lots of smells, lots of, you can go nose blind. I didn't realize you can only smell so many times. We have to stop smelling because everything really smells exactly the same. It's something we do a lot. So anyway, we got this product made and we were very excited about it. And I remember I was driving along and Ben had gone out to all the retailers with it. And he said, I'll give you a ring with the numbers. And I was driving along in the car going home. And he rang me and he went, didn't do as well as we thought. I said, how many have we sold? He went, none. Well, what do you mean? He said, not a single retailer wants it. Absolutely single one. And this is global. I mean, we were going to the US, in the UK, and everything. And everyone said, nah, you're kidding me. That's mental. Who's going to buy a Resident Evil candle? And I'm like, oh, I said, but this is such a, the fans will love it. They're really missing a point. And I kind of get it. So my background, which I'll go into in a bit, is, you know, I worked in retail for 20 years. Myself and Ben, we worked for a games company called Game, which is UK-based GameStop sort of thing. So we worked in the gaming industry for 20 years. And I get it sometimes with retailers because you're kind of a little bit risk averse. You know, if you've got numbers and you're the guy that buys the candle and that candle doesn't sell, you're that buyer who bought that candle. So it's sometimes a lot easier to play safe. Right. So we didn't sell a single candle. And I was like, oh, so we sat there and I'm like, okay. I said, and we worked it out and I went, how many do we have to make? And he said, it's 3,000 minimum order quantity. And I went, right, okay. So we sat there and we went, how much money are we going to lose if we make 3,000? And we kind of tallied it up and we were like, can we afford it? If it bombs, can we afford it? And we're probably just, it'll wipe us out. And I said, do you want to do it anyway? And just put it out to the fans? Because I think retailers are wrong. I think the fans will love it. So we got an online retailer involved and we said, sale or return, put it up. If it doesn't sell, we'll take all the stock back or we'll only ship you what you sell. And I went, okay. And we put it up. Capcom tweeted it and we sold out in 24 hours.
Wow.
Just one of those. And then the next day, we got phone calls from every retailer.
Yeah,
asking to stop the candle sort of thing. So it was just one of those. And it's you know, we don't listen to our accountants or anyone like that. Sometimes you just got to go with your gut and just go, fans will get this. And they did. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a candle. It was a bit of fun. It worked because it was the VR was coming out on the same day. So we're really pleased. And we still use a lot of that gut when we're making product. As you're probably aware, we make some unusual products for fans. And a lot of them on paper make sense. You know, I can see Monica behind's got a tofu duck plushie somewhere behind there, sort of thing.
Absolutely.
That was another crazy one. We went to retailer with that and they went, what? And I said, yeah, it's a piece of tofu from Resident Evil. We're going to make it into a duck. Zero orders.
Wow.
And then we put it out to the fans and it sold out.
Oh my god, how quickly I like pre-ordered all this stuff. Like the second I saw this on, like, I think it was Just Geek is where I got all this stuff at. Yeah. Like the second it was on pre-order, bought it. Didn't care. Yeah.
Shout out to Just Geek because they're the guys that took the candle as well. They were
really nice. Okay, yeah.
They kind of get it. I mean, they went, if it doesn't sell, we're not paying for it. And we're okay, fair enough. But they did back us on it, and it did really well. So we ended up making a lot of those candles.
You can't find many if you look online. I've always been curious if people want to resell, and you don't find them often.
Well, it's weird. So we were kind of in the candle market at that point then, which I never expected. So and when I was coming on here, and I thought, I know he's going to bring up that candle. So I thought, right, I'm going to have to. So we've got cupboards. So I have like a drawer, which is the candle drawer. So I opened up this drawer and I was looking in it, and because we did, so we did that one, and I was like, God, there's some that I forgot we'd even done. We did a Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot.
That's awesome. That one, that was great. Yeah. But and then we kind of stopped because we got a lot of other people jumped on it and started making candles, and I went, I wasn't doing it to sell something. It meant something when we were doing it. We were doing it because of the VR, and we were doing it to this. And I went, right, stop. Let's not do that anymore. But funnily enough, when I was going through my weird candle drawer, I found prototypes of stuff that we made that never saw the light of day. I brought a couple just to show you. Just reminiscing. Really weird. Because I was like, well, what else can you do? So this is in white because it's a prototype, but we made a Dreamcast candle. We did a Mega Drive and a PlayStation as well, that we would get this, and this is an exact replica. We 3D scanned the Dreamcast, but the idea was you got the Dreamcast candle, and I think we were going to do the Sony one was going to smell of blossoms from Japan and all this sort of stuff. And we were going to do, you could buy the games like Jet Set Radio Candle and put it in your
dream. That's awesome.
So cool.
But we didn't end up making, I think the tooling for this was so expensive that it was the price for the customer was like, it's going to be about 40 quid or something now. I mean, and I'm talking pounds, so, you know, $50. Right. I was like, that's too much. So we kind of just canned it, but the weirdest one, I don't think this has ever been shown before, when we were going a bit candle crazy, it's actually broken in half now. It's the only prototype we had. We made, this is the candle holder, which is this.
What?
Whoa.
Is that Krang?
No, but the candle's Pickle Rick.
Rick. Oh my god. I thought I recognized it, but I'm like, Rick is missing.
It's a shame because the spine snapped, because we had to make it out of metal because of the way it was done. So it sits like that.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Rick, and then you just bought the extra Pickle Rick.
And
I think they were saying you can only do it if you put the pickle in a glass jar. And I went, no, I don't want to. And they said you limit the pickle straight. And I was like, no, it doesn't work. So it ended up just about 50% of the stuff we do never makes it. And that's just the way we do it. But I was like, I couldn't open it up and there's just Pickle Rick sat there. And I was like, I wish we'd made Pickle Rick. One day we may come back to Pickle Rick. It was so good.
It's clever. I mean, the real question is it going to be pickle scented?
Oh, of course it is.
I mean, I love the visual, but I would never burn it.
Question.
Because I'm not a pickle lover.
End this interview. End it. Yeah. I'm not having that. But yes, it was, and it absolutely stinks. We do a lot with smells. I don't know why. Maybe I've got a fascination. So even with our ducks, I don't know if you've got any. So we, if it makes sense, we scent our ducks. So we've got Stay Puft smells of marshmallow. Our Easter Bunny smells of chocolate. We did Lemmy from Motorhead, and he smelled of Jack Daniels.
That's clever.
Because Lemmy from Motorhead smells of Jack
Daniels. Man, I got to get those ducks now. I didn't know they were scented.
He actually smelled of Quack Daniels for legal reasons.
Nice.
Not Jack Daniels. But that one, but we only put it on if it makes sense. But we did we brought out the turtles, and I really wanted them all to smell of pizza. And so it's the weirdest thing. Our factory, when they send us smells, I don't know why, but they send them as plastic babies' heads.
Okay.
They obviously make babies' heads. And so every time the design and the smell. So if you ever go in our office, like on a Tuesday, we're all just sat around sniffing babies' heads. or the carrier bags. We've had people walk in before, like external people, and go, whoa, and we're just like that, stick a baby's head. But we couldn't, it just smelt of feet. There was nothing we could do to make it smell like, it just smelt of like really cheesy feet.
Oh, boy.
So unfortunately, the turtles never got that pizza smell, but we do have future ones. I'll give you an exclusive. That's not even out yet. So it's coming out later this year. And I'm a big 80s buff, a big 80s movie buff. And we're doing Dirty Dancing.
Nice.
And we've got Baby carrying a watermelon, and it smells of watermelon.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's awesome.
So it's just little bits like that. So, yeah, I never realised how weird we do with our smells until I probably bumped back into you and then realised we do a lot of stuff with the smells.
I also saw that you had you had a Metal Gear cologne.
Shadow Moses.
Yeah.
We did, yes. Our Metal Gear Solid cologne. Yeah, that did really well. But again, I think it's just a bit of fun and something a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of the reason we kind of got into this. I'll kind of tangent go back. So both myself and my co-founder Ben, we both worked for Game in the UK about 20 years. You know, I worked in the stores, we worked in buying. I was the commercial director for Game Australia. Ben was in buying and then the marketing director. So we've done a lot of roles. And we used to do, I'm talking, I'm probably signing up, but back in the heyday of games when the games were huge, you know, GTAs and the Call of Duties, we'd have midnight launches for the opening and everything like that. So we used to get really excited. You're working all this out and you've got the new Call of Duty coming out or stuff. But then we'd speak to the guys about the merch and we're like, oh, so what we got? It's midnight launch, got all the fans coming out. And they went, yeah, we've got a T-shirt and it's got the logo on it. And we're like, anything else? We've got a mug. Mm. Have you got the logo on it? Yeah. We've got a key ring. Fucking logo on it? Yeah. Okay. We're just like, it was for every launch. And you're like, you've got these most amazing games and these fans, and you're just peddling, not Game, but just the people who are making merch. I'm like, you're not even trying. You're not fans. Right. You're just slapping logos on shit.
Yep.
And that's what kind of started it. And so Ben and I started creating some of our own merch at Game. And then we were kind of sat there one day over a glass of wine sort of thing. We went, you know what? We could do this a lot better. You know, we get it. We're fans. And you know, I'm always been frustrated with the lack of fan merch. So that's kind of where it was. And that was kind of the crossroads where we went, well, okay. I was turning 40, probably hitting a midlife crisis, and just went, okay, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. So that's kind of where we started Numbskull. So, but it was just down to the, I thought, if I see one more, and you'll never find a Numbskull t-shirt with just the logo on it. It's one of those things. We try and do something that, you know, as a fan, what would I wear? And that's kind of the how we work our product sort of thing. So that's kind of the story of how Numbskull started, really, from crap merch.
Nice. I like, too, that, like, I feel like your prices are so great compared to a lot of stuff, because especially with, like, Resident Evil merchandise, like, back in the day, we used to be able to get figures for, like, $30, and they were pretty good. And then, like, everything's, like, $300, $400 now. And then you guys came out with, like, your statues, like, your Licker and your Nemesis and your Tyrant, and it was, like, $100. Like, that's the most affordable Resident Evil merch I've seen in a very long time.
And that's the thing. I mean, I do the Hot Toys. I love Hot Toys. I think they do.
Those are so expensive, though.
Yeah, they're so expensive, but that's like premium. I mean, they're really, really amazing. But it was weird. We actually started the statues with the price, because again, we sat there and went, why doesn't anyone do statues for like $100?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we said, so we actually kind of went backwards and went, what could we make for $100? And that's how we kind of worked, because there is a real lack of $100 kind of.
There really is. Products. Everything is like thousands sometimes.
But for a statue, and I hope you agree, you know, the detail on it, and you know, it's not
good quality. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we did it, because we wanted to bring out a statue range that was kind of affordable.
Mm-hmm. And the size, they're pretty big too for like only being $100.
Exactly. Our accountants wanted to make them much smaller, but we were like, no, there's got to be, you know, the cool size. Again, we don't listen to our accountants. But yeah, we're really pleased with those. And we will continue with our statue ranges on other stuff as well. And we're hoping to do some more resi ones as well, because the three that we did really, really well. And we're currently in discussions with Capcom on a new round. So
I do remember you guys had some kind of survey a little while back, like asking like what the next statue should be. I think a lot of us were like Alexia. That would be a really, really cool statue. But yeah, we all like put in our votes for.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. We're very much into asking the fans for obvious reasons. You know, if fans didn't like it, then it won't sell. But it's really important. The community thing to us is really important. We do our quarter arcades and our tubs. And we listen all the time. And, you know, if anyone does ever go on our Tubbs Club or Quarter Arcades and puts comments, those comments are read by both. Every comment is read. And we do mark stuff down and steal good ideas and pass them off as our own to become better rich. But no, we do listen to the fans. It's really important because, again, that's the point of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we're always do. Whatever products we work on, does Yarava, the lead designer is always a fan, or if that they're not a fan, we've had products, especially the 80s stuff, sometimes I have to forget in the office that I'm old, and we'll work on something. I think we worked on the Rocky, and the designers went, we've never seen Rocky. I was like, oh my god.
Oh no.
But I bought the Rocky box set. I didn't make them what they had before. That would have just been cruel. But 1 to 4, and they all had to go home and watch all four Rockies to understand it, because you've got to, just little details and stuff you put in stuff, you've got to understand that thing. You know, the tofu thing came from one of the designers in the office, and we were just talking about what resi stuff we do, and he was like, tofu, and I was like what, you know, these guys, and he explained. I went, that's amazing. I said, I don't know if it'll ever sell, but do it.
Oh, tofu. Do you guys plan on doing any other plushes now that you like did a tofu plush? I mean, can you talk about it?
I can. The number one selling resi tubs by a million miles, Leon.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I mean, not even close. Mm-hmm. Like for every, you know, Leon that you sell as many as the others. It's I don't know what it is. You can probably tell me. Leon is phenomenal.
Resident Evil 2 original was like really is what made Resident Evil big, so that's why my guess why Leon like hit it so big.
Yeah, so the next plush will probably be Leon.
Do you have any do you think you might do like a Resident Evil 4 Leon tub now that you have a Resident Evil 2 one?
Yeah, it's a funny one when you sign a license. So when we sit and sign a license for anyone, you often get a lot of restrictions on what you can do.
Mm-hmm. Specific
characters, or you can't do, and I'm not saying this is right, but they might say you can't do 4, you can only do 1 or 2. I know we had it with Metal Gear Solid. Our Metal Gear Solid stuff did really well, and everyone was going, Big Boss, Big Boss, want Big Boss, and we're like, they won't let us do Big Boss. I don't know why. Right. It's not enough. Right. God damn it. So I don't know. So I would love to do that, because I think it's, I know from the fans and stuff, so
it would be something we'll try and get it. Metal Gear tub.
Awesome. Yeah, it was a rare thing. You just like, but I don't know the reason. I don't know if it's internal politics or someone else might have the license for 4, right, or, you know, or for Big Boss on certain things. So it can be frustrating sometimes when you're, the amount of times Metal Gear, everyone's going, wow, I can't believe you haven't done Big Boss. I'm like, we know. You know? We do want to do Big Boss. But yeah, we're doing a new contract at the moment, and number one on that list is, can we do Big Boss?
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Awesome.
So, yeah, so hopefully with Capcom, I say we're at that kind of new licensing agreement, and, yeah, we're trying to put together what we will kind of do next, because Resi's not going anywhere, you know, as a brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's as strong as it's ever been, so we'll hopefully
continue. Sense.
Yeah, and there's a huge fandom of Resident Evil people. Like a lot of the Resident Evil like voice actors stream now too. So actually, funny thing enough, the voice actor for Claire, she actually did this thing where she bought a bunch of the Claire ducks and then signed them for her stream. Yeah.
people in the office lost their minds over that. We had Christopher Lloyd sign one of the Back to the Future, and I lost my mind over that. I think
nice. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, I love the fact that you mentioned that you're an 80s person, because I'm an 80s person too. Oh. So the one thing I want to ask is, obviously, when it comes to picking all these different licenses, there's the sky's the limit, obviously. It's you go where your passion is. Is a lot of it coming from your passion, a variety of the team? Has there been anything that you've reached for that you didn't really get any traction? Like if there was a either an 80s movie license or a game that you said, we got to do something, and either you get a stalemate or just, oh, you know, we're not looking to license it right now, like that kind of wall.
Yeah,
that,
you do. So initially, when it started, it was literally just me and Ben, and the team's grown now. I think there's about 80 of us now, you know, the UK and US and all over the place. But you'll probably notice, you can see on the early days, we signed a lot of 80s stuff and a lot of certain genre video games like Metal Gear Solid and Resident. That was me. That was just one. There was no business thought behind it. It was just, that's cool. It was just all, I want that. And that's how probably everything starts. It's a bit like these arcades we do behind. I'm a huge arcade fan, and I just simply made it because I wanted one. And I just hoped there was other people that wanted one too.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a funny one. So, you know, people, we've had it before where as we've grown as a business and matured, people going, you know, should we get in focus groups and, you know, do this when we're looking at ranges? And I'm like, and I always go back to an 80s movie, Big. There's a scene in Big where the guy doing a transformer and it's a building. And the reason he's doing it is because buildings, you know, the stats on buildings are very high and it does really well with the Boeing, blah, blah, blah. And that's why I built it and stuff. And it was all built off focus groups and stats. And then obviously Tom Hanks, who was a child, just went, but what's cool about a building? You know what I mean? And that's the thing. So we were very big at listening to the fans, but I'm not very good at doing a focus group sort of thing where you go, Google will tell you that the stats on this are very high and we should do something.
Yeah.
That just makes it look cool.
It's very uninformative when you think about it. It's just very technical and, you know, you don't know if people are truly like searching that.
Falls into it, but so from that point of view, that's how we started. We basically just signed, we signed up anyone that would have us in the beginning. And that was the weird thing. So when we started mainly in video games because we'd worked in video games for 20 years, so that's the only people we knew. So we knocked on a few doors of people we'd gone drinking with over the last 20 years and got in now. But one of the strangest things was you'll sit down in front of them. So we've got the meeting and we're talking through products and they'll go, so what do you want to make? And we're like, well, I'd love to make a statue. And they go, you can't make statues. We've got a statue partner. Okay, apparel, hoodies, and t-shirts. No, we've got a partner for that. And so you sit there and you go, fuck. And so they go through everything, and everything's taken, which I kind of respect because they're not just going, oh, yeah, join, you know, I know we've signed that guy for 100 grand to make mugs, but you can do them as well. If I'm that guy who's just signed the 100 grand, I'd be pretty pissed off that someone else can make them. Yeah, so I kind of get that and respect that. But that's why, especially at the beginning, we sat there and went, candles, and they went, and people, they're looking for the shit going, yeah, we ain't got anyone who makes candles, you know, and we're like, incense burners, yeah, no one's. We started doing incense burners because we wanted to do statues, but they wouldn't, no one had letters, so we made an incense burner. I don't know if I've got one here, I must have. Well, I've got Crash here, actually. I don't know if you ever remember this one.
I remember that, yeah.
We made that because we really wanted to make a statue, but they wouldn't give us a license. So we made it into an incense burner. So his exhaust smoke out the back and stuff.
That's
like
so
that.
Cool.
We did the same with Spyro, but it was basically cheating. And people looked at it and went, you should make statues. All right, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, you twisted my arm.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why, and we were known as the Weird and Wonderful Numbskull, because it was creative kind of products. And then obviously as we've grown, people have now allowed us to do statues or collectibles such as our ducks and stuff. So on the early days, ones that I regret not getting. So the umbrella company is called Rubber Road. and it's called Rubber Road for a reason. Myself and my business partner are both fanatical Beatles fans. Absolutely fanatical. That's our love. That's how we became friends, a party drunk, and realised in his house and realised he had Beatles posters. So Rubber Road is our favourite Beatles albums. So it's, you know, mine's Abbey Road and his is Rubber Soul. So we just combined it and we said, whatever we do going forward, we will always use a bit of Beatles in there for luck. So we tried to sign the Beatles. We managed to do a Beatles jumper, but we were desperate to do Beatles ducks. I would have made Beatles ducks for free.
Yeah,
I genuinely would, just to have the Fab Four as ducks. But the licensing, it actually goes to, so Yoko and Paul and everyone has to sign them off, and they won't let you disfigure the Beatles. I don't know if disfigure is the right way, but make them into ducks or whatever. So that devastated me to that we will never probably ever make the Beatles. You know, we've done some of us, Lemmy and Ozzy Osbourne, which was personally signed off by Sharon, who loved it. We did the Ozzy Osbourne, as you can imagine, and I'd love to do a David Bowie's on my list as ones to kind of do. But so music wise the Beatles, movies, we used to do stuff with Disney. I'd love to go back and do stuff with Disney again, but I would only ever work on the first three Star Wars. I refuse the other six. The first three. That's the only thing I'd be interested in doing. Which probably won't go down well with Disney, but yeah, I'm never making a Phantom Menace duck or the last three. So Jar Jar Binks is never coming out in duck form on that. And the other day I had to turn down just because we had so many licenses and it breaks my heart. It's one of my favourite movies of all time. I had to turn down Pretty in Pink for the ducks. And really? Especially because John Cry is called Ducky in it. It wasn't financial. It was just we had so much going on. I just couldn't get in the calendar. I'm like, but it's one of my all-time favorite. I love John Hughes movies.
Right.
But to turn that down, you know, broke my heart not to make Molly Ringwald into a duck. But you never know. We may go back. We may go back and do that at some point.
The sky's the limit, right? That's what's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're probably the ones, yes. To answer your question long, they're the ones that we haven't done. And sometimes it's just too expensive.
Right.
We really wanted originally at the absolute peak, we wanted Cyberpunk.
Ooh,
and the money they wanted for
Cyberpunk. Oh, man, I would have bought so many Cyberpunk ducks.
was insane at the time, and you just looked at it and you just went,
It's just, it's a tough franchise too when you think about it, because they had a good amount of product that came out, but then you think about how the launch went, which was very rocky. A lot of the product became shelf warmers until the game finally got updated, and then the 100%. Merch became important.
I'm so glad we didn't sign it, because we would have gone big.
Yeah, it could have been a big gamble. Yeah,
and the game's now apparently amazing. They've all fixed it.
It's fixed. It's a lot better.
So I'm going to go actually back in for Cyberpunk now. It'll be a lot cheaper as well, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And if the price is right, I'd love to do it. I'd love to do Cyberpunk. So that one might be back on. But at the time, it was just like, I'm not paying that much for a house. I'm not paying that much for a license.
Yeah, so. It's probably because Keanu Reeves was involved in it. And they're like, we could probably get some money for this.
Exactly, exactly. So, but we do have a John Wick duck coming very shortly.
Oh, nice. My God. I'm pre-ordering that so fast.
He's so good, and he's covered in blood. It's my favorite thing with the duck is when we do characters that are like sinister. You know, we did the Shining one with the axe, and it's got blood dripping off it, and everyone goes, "Oh, look at that little cute duck!" I'm like, "He's a Max Herder," you know. I mean, it's just, and it's
the more to it
and stuff. I love it when you've got, you know, we've got the Texas Chainsaw Massacre one, but they just look so cute.
But like, what is your reasoning behind deciding to make like ducks? Like, you know, what was the thought process by? I love that idea so much, but like, why ducks?
Yeah, it's a weird one. So it goes back on our ducks. It's the fifth anniversary this year since our launch of the ducks. And we probably worked on it for about 18 months before that. I was literally one day, I was in the park and this is the only bit of the story that's hard to believe. My personal trainer, who we don't use anymore, as you can probably tell, but at the time, she was, and she goes, oh, I know you're a massive Star Wars fan. She goes, I've just bought my boyfriend a duck. And I was like, okay. I'd do anything to chat to her to stop doing sit-ups and stuff. So I was like, tell me more about the duck. And she put it out, and it was called Chew Quacker. And I was like, oh.
Love it.
And it was a brown duck, and the belt was painted. They hadn't tried to do the hair. He had no crossbow. And I just went, oh, that's shit. I was so excited for a Chewbacca duck. And I went, oh. And I went, if we did ducks, we do so much better. And I couldn't get out of my head all the weekend. And I was like, we should do ducks. We have a thing that we call... internally with numbskulling our product. So if we can't numbskull it, we don't make it. So that goes back to, if we're just bringing something out for the sake of it and it's being done, and we've actually worked with people and we've actually gone, we're actually not going to take your money because we don't think we can put anything that we want to put the numbskull brand on it. Mm-hmm. So I sat in the office, and when I have an idea, I get quite fanatical about it, and it's all I think about. And so I'm looking up ducks, and I know the history of ducks. I could go on one of those quizzes about how ducks was created from. It was the Dunlop guy who does the tires and stuff. But anyway, so I said, if we're going to do it though, what would we do? And I said, what's this duck doing? And so we filled this whole backstory about, well, the rubber ducks and the cosplay. That's what they're doing. They're dressing up as their favorite characters. So, okay. So we had this whole story of these ducks, and that made sense then. Because we were like, okay, what would the duck do? You know, if he's a shark, is he a shark, or is he dressed as a shark? And so, and then we started to write duck law. So what's the lore of ducks? So even silly stuff. So when some of the first ones we did was Borderlands and stuff. And so we said, right, we won't sexualize the ducks. Ducks don't have boobs. You know, we've done stuff like we did the Lara Croft with a Polly, and it's a bit pointy stuff, but we don't do that kind of, all right, no, so we don't sexualize the ducks. The duck's gender neutral, you know, the duck can be, it can be female, it can be male. So we had this whole duck. At this point, we've not designed a single duck. We just went through this because we thought, if we're going to do it, we need these kind of means. So we had this whole story and backstory of the ducks. And then we started to design the ducks. And, you know, it's weird stuff like, I don't think I've got one here, but Sonic the Hedgehog is like, is he a hedgehog? You know, does he have a beak? Is the beak yellow? Will it be white? Does he have a nose? And it was just debate. They were originally called for 2 years and until about 3 months before launch. They were called Tubbies. It was just a name, and it was the name we always called them. And then we went for the trademark, and someone went, there's a problem. And we went, they went, Teletubbies.
Oh, yeah.
And we went, what? And we were devastated. For nearly 2 years, we'd call these little things we made called Tubbies sort of thing. So we had to change the name. And I'm kind of glad we did now, the tubs. I mean, They're obviously called tubs because they come in a bathtub. So that was another thing. All the ducks come in a bathtub, and that's why they're called tubs. And the logo and everything with the blue and the yellow. So that's how we came up with it. But it had to have a reasoning. So every duck is dressing up as its favorite character, and that's what we try and put across in the ducks themselves. And I don't know if you've got some of my favorites, Brody from Jaws, or we did David Schwimmer from Friends, and how the designers are geniuses. It looks like David Schwimmer. I've got one in the office today, which again has not been announced yet, which I probably shouldn't say, but we're doing Hunger Games, and we've just done Jennifer Lawrence as a duck from Hunger Games. Yeah. And I swear to God, it's Jennifer Lawrence.
Just like her.
It's awesome. I wish I had a picture to show you. I was stunned, and I went, that's Jennifer Lawrence. And we do have problems. We had problems with The Shining, with Jack Nicholson, because they came back and they went, it looks too much like Jack Nicholson. You're going to have to change it. And I went, it's fucking yellow and it's got a beak. What do you mean? So we do, and John Travolta, we were doing a John Travolta one, and they wanted us to remove the dimple. And I went, no, it's John Travolta. Yeah. And so right. we actually cancelled the contract over this. So we didn't make it. And I went, no, because if that duck dressed up as John Travolta, it would have a dimple.
Yeah.
We take these things very serious. So
as a cosplayer, I appreciate that very much.
Exactly. So, you know, what would that duck do is something that we say in the office all the time. So, yeah, I know people are looking and going, they're just ducks. No. There's a lot of thought that goes into these. Kind of capture and make sure that there's little logos or badges that the fans will really
even with like the Mr. Yeah. X duck, his hat comes off. Like that just like threw me so much. It's like that's the best ever.
Yeah. Again, the accountants hated that. They went,
really?
That would be so much cheaper. I went, no, it looks so cool.
You ever play the game, like everyone has tries to shoot his hat off. Like you gotta have his hat come off.
Well, exactly. And these little
that's
things
a trophy
like that.
In the game. Come on.
The accountants probably hadn't played Resident Evil, if I'm honest. So they okay, probably didn't fair. Get that. But yeah, so we do try to put little things like that into it that, you know, the fans will get, you know, sort of thing. We try and put personality into the ducks, which hopefully comes across on the one. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say, coincidentally, even today, I was out with my son getting lunch, and we went into one of the stores and we happened to see the Sonic tub. And he's like, that's so cool. He's like, look, he's dressing up. I said, it's really weird that you see that. My son's 7. And he's like, why? I said, I'm going to get to speak to them today. He's like, that's so cool. He's like, do they make Five Nights at Freddy's? That's the first thing he asked. So he wanted me to ask formally, has there ever been consideration for franchises like that, that maybe you haven't explored?
We are bringing out Five Nights at Freddy's tubs.
Oh, my God. I literally was
in the office today. So what we do in the office is we design them, goes over to the guys, and then we 3D print them in the office. And the last thing I did before I left the office tonight is we had the tubs, and we were going over them and saying about the top hat and things like this, because we're doing the limited edition ones, but we're going to do the minis as well for Five Nights at Freddy's. And we've had a lot of stuff, but yes, Five Nights at Freddy's, and it's coming out a couple of months it'll be out.
Well, thank you for the amounts of exclusives you are hooking us up with.
I know, I'll be in trouble. I mean, I will be in trouble. It might be lies. I might have just made it all up.
Yeah.
But right. I know from your shows before, I know you love Five Nights at Freddy's, and I knew. So we're doing the tubs on Five Nights at Freddy's, and we're looking at doing other bits and bobs on that as well. So that's awesome. One crazy show. That was one that I had to go and I watched the movie. I thought the movie was great, but I started to watch on YouTube the
original games and stuff.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's some crazy shit right there.
It is. And like I said, my son is 7, but my kid is very mature for his age as far as the content. And I mean, I grew up like that. I tell Monica all the time. I saw Child's Play 2 in the theater. I'm 42. So I saw that as an 8-year-old. So my kid is not even anywhere near as bad, but he knows the lore. He knows the ins and outs of the story. He sold me on and made me a fan because he's just understand. Yeah, I'm just like,
and I was like, so how do they move? Well, it's the dead souls of children. I was like, what? Yeah. I was like,
exactly.
But I must admit, it was like, this is crazy. But I know fans of the game, some of them didn't like the movie. So I obviously hadn't played the game. So I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a great bit of fun. And I know there's another 2 in the pipeline.
Yeah, it was just formally delayed. It's one of those things, like production hasn't started, but you know, it's the creator is very, very specific about how he wants it to be done. This movie took a long time. I think it was about 10-12 years to make that first movie. So
really,
yeah, it went through about 4 directors, and yeah, it was a long road, but you know, I think Blumhouse worked. I think it definitely found a way to, you know, make people not fear the video game into a movie curse, as we get a lot of times.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rumor is that there's a lot of talk about bringing it to the core of the scary factor. And the second game has a lot of the darker animatronics. Like it has the Bonnie with the face like completely missing.
Yeah.
So that's my son's favorite character. It's literally just Bonnie in a corner of one of the rooms with no face. And he's just like, oh, it's the best. He has a plush of it and everything. And so, you know,
we've got the first four ducks, which is obviously the guys. So yeah, are you the man that I need to speak to for the next ones?
Yeah, whatever you need. Right, I put it this way. I have fan art that I made for him. I'm writing songs with my band. I actually put out a song, Five Nights at Freddy's, inspired for a cosplayer that has over 1 million followers. He literally recreated one-to-one the Yellow Rabbit suit that Matthew Lillard wore. So He is 21 years old. The Regular Sauce is his name. Shout out, my friend. Amazing. He literally handcrafted everything. When he wears the costume, people thought that the studio let him borrow it. Lights, eyes light up and everything. And he said, listen, I'm doing a reveal and I want you to write a song. I made a little intro for him and it was really cool. Like, the fans are just so talented. Yeah, that's the big thing.
I watched it actually.
Yes.
I did. And he had the diorama.
Yeah. Because he ended up making, if you're familiar with some of the games, the Glamrock Freddy. That's the one where he went viral. He actually, it looks like the rock star, like 80s rock star Freddy Fazbear. And he went in an arcade in Vegas, millions of views, blew up. And when you look at it, it looks like somebody literally modeled it after the game. It's incredible.
I'm learning about it. It's weird. You know, if you want to go one-to-one on Back to the Future, I can probably take you. But Five Nights at Freddy's, to me, is...
And I mean, it's a lot.
It's interesting with Numbskull as we evolve, because you always want to kind of try and stay relevant as well. There's only so long that people are going to, you know, if it was up to me, we'd just make Jaws and Star Wars stuff forever. But So we've signed some new licenses, and I come over to the States quite a bit, and it's amazing. The States is still always trend-wise 6 months to a year ahead of the UK. Always has been.
Right.
So you'll see something that's hot in the States in a year's time. That'll be usually hot in the UK. And I must admit, anime is everywhere in the US. Everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hardcore.
And then you start to go down the route and go, okay, I'm now going to, you know, learn about anime. Oh, my God. And it just goes off. So we've done the My Hero Tubbs, did really well. We've got Chainsaw Man coming again. That probably shouldn't.
He's awesome.
Really good, really good. We've done a little mini one as well. That's going into Five Below, which is going to be amazing. So we've got those, and we've got quite a few Naruto and stuff coming and stuff like that. So it's not something we've done in the past, probably because I didn't grow up with it. Right. But I think what we're looking at now, okay, you know, what is the, you know, what do people want? And, yeah, My Hero did so well for us. We're like, okay, let's work. Let's get some more of these done. And weirdly, I think it works even more with the duck, you know, because ducks are so kind of quirky and that kind of Japanese sort of style anyway. Mm-hmm. And they just look amazing when they're dressed up. You know, I'd love to... I don't know. We haven't signed this one, but I'd love to do like Demon Slayer or something. Because I look at things now and I go, that'd be an amazing duck.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
It's ruined stuff. So yeah, the guys have done really well. So yeah, a lot of anime coming out in 2024, 2025 for us.
Ooh, I would love to see a Death Note Ryuk duck. That would be really cool. I don't know if you know who Death Note is, but.
Death Note, yes.
Yeah, like a Ryuk. Yeah, that'd be really cool. List.
I don't know him as well as Back to the Future, but Death Note was on. We're doing another one that's coming out very shortly. We're doing the Avatar Airbender.
Ooh, nice.
Which is very popular right now again with the show and now being in Fortnite too.
Yeah, exactly. It's in there, and obviously the Netflix show's done. It was Netflix. Right? Yeah. It's done so well.
The live action.
We're actually doing, which is really weird. We're doing the turtle duck.
Okay.
From Avatar, which is the turtle with a duck's head.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So it's kind of Duck Inception. It's Tubbs really, Inception.
Well, exactly. It's one of the hardest things we ever do is when we animals are the hardest in doing ducks, but the hardest is doing a duck, which I know sounds weird. So we've got, you know, we've looked at doing stuff with Warner Brothers, with Bugs Bunny and stuff like that. Then we got to Daffy Duck and we're like,
well, really, what do we do?
Because it's Daffy Duck. So. It's a hard one to kind of get a duck cosplaying as another duck. So I don't know. It's all part of the duck law that we.
I'm trying to visualize it, and I'm just thinking like,
yeah, and it sounds like a black T-shirt. We'll just, you know, we'll paint it black and put a white thing. And I'm like, no, but that's not Daffy Duck. You know,
you got to give him an even longer beak. Like he's got to be wearing.
Yeah, exactly. Beak. Yeah, and then it becomes, well, is that now a duck? So I don't know. We humans so are the cool easiest. Though. The humans, when you make humans into ducks, it's a lot easier. The animals are always a bit, you know, with Jaws, we went down the route where it's. He's inside. It's a costume,
right?
Which worked really well for us. Probably the number one selling duck is Jaws, Bruce.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It does really well. There's a lot of love out there for Jaws. I think it's 50th next year, so
just crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
Very.
Awesome. So I'd like to just throw out because I'm into the 80s stuff, but I like certain movies that don't get as much love as I feel like they should. But we're hitting a 40th anniversary for this movie that I loved. And I'm curious if you knew of this movie called The Last Dragon. It is a...
Yes.
Okay, I don't even have to. So
40th.
40th this year, the end of the year.
Oh, really?
So,
I know Ghostbusters 40th and Gremlins 40th this year.
Isn't it crazy? I mean,
wow.
I feel like that's a movie that has not gotten the love as far as like the merch side. You know, I've always thought like... Somebody's got to make like NECA's make a figure, you know, like you don't even see t-shirts, you know. I mean, it's Bruce Leroy, it's the Shogun of Harlem, like it just doesn't make sense to me. And I've always wondered, like, is that something that, you know, maybe it's been talked about? And I don't know, like you said, you know what it is, but I wonder if that's maybe a license that people can't gravitate towards, like if there's restrictions. And but I feel like with that anniversary coming up, it's such an opportunity to see, you know, people embrace it. Cause I see it all online all the time. You get the love, people make fan stuff of that. Like people make comics continuing the story 40 years later. It's pretty crazy, but I just,
It is. And it's weird. So when we're talking before about licenses, the one that kind of probably breaks my heart the most is when you put out some tubs and they don't do well. And right. It's one that, so probably the one for me, which again, he signed me ahead. One of the greatest films ever, Oscar-winning picture, Rocky. I love Rocky. I love all the Rockies up to four stuff. So we did. So we planned all this out. So we brought out Rocky and Apollo, but we designed it. I've got them in the office somewhere. 3D print. We had Club of Lang. We had Drago. We had Adrian with a hat on and a glasses, and Mickey. And Rocky and Apollo just didn't sell as ducks. Just not in it sold, but not in the numbers that should justify carrying it on.
Right.
It was heartbreaking to go. And another one, and it goes back to what you're saying. Sometimes you sound on your head. We signed Knight Rider. We did a Michael Knight. And I was like, everyone loves the Hoff. You know what I mean? And we did him in his cool jacket. We even made the jacket shiny. He's like plasticky PVC jacket. And he's doing this on his watch to Kit. And the bath we made... jet black with a light on the front of the bath.
Well, so it looked like it, right?
Did not sell. And it's really because I love the niche stuff. You know, I like weird movies. I watched that last night. I watched Action Jackson. Don't remember that. Carl Weathers movie. I'm kind of going for the Carl Weathers thing at the moment. A bit of mourning. He was amazing. So,
of course.
I mean, what a film. Mental. Came out the year after Predator, and it's got all the Predator guys in it. And I'm like, I'd love to make that into a duck. No one's going to buy that. Not in the numbers. There's not enough of us, I think, out there.
Right.
And you've got to be very careful that, yeah, it's what's niche. I would,
because obviously you have to make a business decision, and obviously if you're going to, passion can only go so far. You know, you can't spend all your money on the passion if it's not going to at least keep things afloat. Make
these decisions, A, would be bankrupt. And B, we'd have some really cool luck, but we would be honest. Level of heads have to prevail a lot of the time, because there's some really, you know, I'd love to do stuff like Monty Python and them kind of stuff, but people go, okay, you know, do you want that or do you want cyberpunk? I want both. I want to do both. Right. I'm with you on that. I love these 80s stuff. I would do lots of 80s, you know. I'd love to do Goonies and all that sort of stuff. I think Goonies would sell.
Well, it's funny you think about Warner Brothers right now with Todd McFarlane. He's doing a lot of those kind of older movie, like with little statues as well. But it's just, I feel like other companies need to get the chance to do that. I feel like everybody's getting the same thing over and over from the same releases. Like with McFarlane, it's like he's doing this movie line, but people remember him for the horror line, which he's not doing. But I think that's because probably Warner Brothers is restricting him to their movies. So they're doing like, I think they did, what's the movie with the baby when they, in Vegas, the guy gets lost. I forget.
No, Hangover.
He did a model, a statue of that. I'm just like, who's buying that? Like, that's just my thought. Cause I feel like it's not talked about like it used to. Like there was a peak where like, you know, you'd walk around and that's all you'd see is Hangover. It's been years now. I feel like I don't feel,
but there's definitely, and that's the problem you get now these days with like Netflix. So Netflix, something will be absolutely huge. I don't know if it was similar there. We had, I'm thinking back in years there, was it Queen's Gambit? Massive. That's what anyone's talking about. Saltburn recently. That's him.
Yeah.
But by the time you've got anything out there, people have forgotten about it. It seems more bang, it's huge, it's gone. You know, and that's really difficult now because you can't get on that trend quick
fast enough.
By
the time it takes a duck, the fastest you can really do it, it's 9 months to do a duck. We work a year out, but it's 9 months from signing the license to that duck landing. It's 9 months, and a lot happens in 9 months. So that's where you've got to be really careful. We tried to get the Airbender stuff out for the Netflix show, but we just couldn't get close enough. We managed to get a new Fallout mini tubs out this week for the new TV show.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's trying to work on license. You've got to work in so far out. I mean, we're working on Jaws 50th and Back to the Future's 40th, but that's good because you know they're coming.
Mm-hmm. Of course,
new shows is but yeah, if it was up to me, I mean, there's loads of niche stuff. I really wanted to do Scarface tubs. I wanted an Al Pacino with rocket launcher.
I mean, it makes sense.
Covered in cocaine. maybe even it smells of cocaine. I don't know. but sometimes I just think, why? It would look amazing. Cocaine-filled duck with a rocket launcher in a suit. But that one's been put on the back burner. Apparently, Al Pacino's a nightmare to get stuff signed off, so it might have waited for the best. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, man. I think my top two favorite things that I would love for you guys to do, because I've seen you've already done like some Silent Hill stuff for statues.
Yeah.
I would love some tubs. Like, I would love a pyramid head tub. Like, that would be, oh my God. So that, any Silent Hill stuff, and also any Alan Wake stuff, I would buy that so fast.
Yeah, it was really surprised me. I mean, as I say, going back to my days in game, Alan Wake was huge. And then the new one's done so well.
Yeah, it was. It was really big.
It won a ton of awards. And the fact that it had a musical score in there.
Mm-hmm. We were very close to doing some stuff on that. And I that was probably the ones I went, I'm not sure. You know, it's been a long time. I got that one wrong. There was a couple of licenses when we were working with Disney. And looking back now, you go, oh, I remember they said, oh, there's a new movie coming out, a new Marvel movie. We can do loads of merch for it. And I went, I'm just not feeling it. I don't think we should do it. And that movie was Black Panther. And I'm like, But then I did stuff for Suicide Squad. So what do I know? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hopefully wasn't for the game.
In fairness, though, Suicide Squad should have, like, the idea of it should have done really, really well. It just wasn't.
Of course. Yeah, that's other tubs we had to drop. We did the full lineup for, and I'm not talking Suicide Squad, I'm talking what I call the good. I like the James Gunn one. I thought it was a great, great, great film. So we had all the characters done, and then we launched the first few, and they were just terrible, and they're now on a shelf somewhere. When I retire, I've got so many rare ducks that there's only one of in the world. Okay. That is my pension.
You got to make sure you keep the candle with them, though. You got to keep them warm. Yes,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. I can't believe, honestly, opening that candle, that's the thing about the smells that I love, but that brought back so many memories. I don't know if it was good ones, because I forgot how strong this was.
It is.
We really went to town on this. We did all back, didn't we?
Yeah. And like I told you, when I did that video, when we live streamed that in 2017 at the launch of Resident Evil, I had my friend playing on the VR, and unbeknownst to him, I was lighting that candle next to him, and he freaked out. Because he's like, because it was right in the beginning when you're under the house and you're in the slimy water, and then it just hit him. What the? Freaking out. Like, oh my God. Like, it's just like, it was a perfect storm, you know, but it was for me. It was nostalgia, obviously, and it was just the fact that it was something to just coexist with something new that we were getting with the game, because we got VR for the first time in Resident Evil, which is like the perfect combination. And I remember playing the teaser at one of the cons when they had you just tied up to the chair. I don't know if you ever played They didn't tell me what it was.
That trailer, to be honest, I'm too much of a wimp. I played that trailer and went, I'm never going on that again.
Yeah, it was rough. But it was a great experience. And again, you guys do such a great job with things that, like you said, not everybody's doing. And that's an important factor, because so many people kind of mimic, you know, somebody else. Oh, that's a great idea. Let me do that a little different. You know, you guys have like your own vibe of geek culture. That's the best way I could say it. And
yeah,
I love everything you've done.
We went to a show the next year and everyone had candles, and I'm like, okay, candles is dead. We're moving on. You know, we need to evolve, sort of thing. Great at the time, but yeah, it's a funny one. I think we were talking when we were in New York, sort of thing. So we've really started to grow the brand, which is great. So Tubbs is doing really well, and we've got a lot planned for Tubbs for the future. It's doing really well. Now Quarter Arcades does really well, and we've got other stuff. But I think we talked about this at the time. We had to make stuff like candles to stand out, and it was the only thing. Who's only licensed people get us. And I think I was saying to you at the time, I'm starting to look at those again as a little bit, let's bring something out that's just a little bit mental or a little bit what? You know what I mean? It's like at the moment, I mean, a perfect example, that June popcorn bucket, that was genius. That was everywhere. You know, that wasn't made by mistake. That was genius.
Yeah. And now everybody wants to top it. Wants to happen.
Absolutely. They brought the Ghostbusters ones out.
You see the Jabba the Hutt one?
Yes. Well,
the mouth opens and
my missus is in Disneyland in 4 weeks for some cheerleading competition thing. And I went, I don't care what you do, you need to go and get me that Jabba the Hutt popcorn.
There it is.
I've sent her a picture. I do not come home without that. So that's amazing. But it is those little novelty things, but clever things. It's not always about being expensive or the price.
What it's gets people talking to?
Yeah, you know, the tofu duck or whatever it might be. So we're definitely going to try and do a few more of those kind of scattered out in 2025. Just stuff you go, oh, that's clever. You know, and you might not get it. But the fan will. And that's right. What it's all about. And we always want to kind of go back to that a bit. So it's great to kind of drive brands, but it's nice to keep with your crazy roots and invent stuff like Pickle Rick. Candles or whatever, and to be honest, it's the reason we do it. You know, I'd hate to have a proper job where you have to go and do grown up stuff. You know, we go into an office and we go, okay, how are we going to make Pickle Rick? And we'll sit there in a meeting for 3 hours talking about a Pickle Rick candle and with a straight face. I mean, it's great, love it.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't miss that, going back to an office and thinking about what you want to do. That's what me and Monica do.
It's a weird thing when for ideas. So I'm kind of the creative one. So I'll come up with the ideas. It's very rare that I'll come up with an idea in the office. Very rare it will be. So we have a thing called Thirsty Thursdays, which is we all go to the pub,
right?
And most ideas come back on a beer mat. And we'll go into the office the next day and it'll be on the bat and we go, do you know, some of them are mental. I mean, I've got a tequila Russian roulette game that we wanted to bring out. And we thought it was genius. We talked about it for 4 hours. Then you wake up the next day and go, so they put a gun in the mouth? And we find the shot. At the time, we thought it was genius. We thought it was absolute genius. And then the next day when the hangover had gone, we're going, that was mental. But it was, we were in the pub, we do the countdown character. I think you must have seen them at the show, which is basically a model that you build over 24 days through Stormtroopers and Sonic and stuff.
Right.
That was just in a pub. That was just me ranting about, you know, my missus won't watch this, so it won't matter. She got me a Beatles one, which was amazing and quite expensive, but it was just tat inside. It was like a Sergeant Pepper's pencil sharpener and a tea towel. And I'm like, I'm sick of this shit. People are spending all this money and it's crap. I want something that at the end of it, I've got something. And that's where we came up with that. But that was just a drunken rant in a pub. And that's
where the best ideas come
from. It genuinely is. And it all still comes from the passion of wanting to make something, you know, really cool. We're really trying to do something special for Back to the Future and Jaws, because it is such a big anniversary, especially Jaws. So we're like, okay, what can we make that's cool, really cool? You know, not just another duck, although we will be doing other ducks, but just something that is a bit back to the candle kind of idea sort of thing. So, yeah, that's always good to go. So probably another Festy Thursday, we'll get something out there. So.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, very exciting. We appreciate you sharing all of this awesome news, first off. Thank you.
You'll have to bleep out all the names of the exclusives that I've given you.
Just put the word exclusive and then just had a long beat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was coming on, I thought, I've got to tell him about Five Nights at Freddy's because I know you're such a big fan. And I can talk about it because it's signed. I get into trouble when it's not signed and I talk about it.
Of course.
Sign that contract. Okay. So,
no, we appreciate that.
No, it's cool. And I'll make sure that I'll send you over some of the ducks and you can critique.
It would be an honor. Absolutely. But Monica, did you?
That's coming out. Monica, it's got your name on it.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh.
Exciting.
But I was going to say, Monica, do you have any other questions before we wrap everything up?
I think one thing I was kind of wondering, just really quick, is like, because you started off with the tubs, like in the little like bathtubs, and now they're in boxes. I was just kind of like, what was like the transition? Like, why did you go from the boxes from the little tubs?
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. It comes back to the fans. So it was a massive debate in the office. When we made the ducks, those bathtubs are expensive, you know what I mean? When we were doing it,
more plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, and we were like, and they're going, oh, the plastic, you know. I went, no, but they're not disposable plastic. You keep them. It's the display.
Yeah.
I was very adamant. A, that's why I called them tubs, and I thought they look really different. They look different to the Funkos and everything out there. So I was really adamant about keeping the tubs, and I won that battle. So I was really pleased with that. But it's weird. So obviously, as we went through, so we've got the tubs.com fan club on Facebook and stuff like that. And we asked the fans, we went, do you keep the bathtub? And we went, right, okay. And it was absolutely 50% doom and 50% down. And we're like, man. I was like, okay. And well, that doesn't tell us anything. I said, yeah, it does. It tells us we've got two different collectors.
Yeah.
But you've got the collector who want their first day editions, who want to keep it in the packaging. But we've also, and it was like, so why don't you keep the bathtub? And say, well, I like to have the duck out. I only collect, the more casual I collect Lord of the Rings, because I'm into Lord of the Rings, and I like to have them out, and I put them in my Jeep, which is a crazy thing, and do all this. So the bathtub just gets thrown in a drawer and stuff. And I was like, okay. So that's when we said, okay, well, why don't we bring out two versions?
Okay,
The bathtub versions are one run, first edition. Mm-hmm. So whatever we make, we never make it again. It's stamped first edition underneath. It comes with a hologram first edition on the bathtub. And if we add anything special to it, like a smell or a glow in the dark or anything, that's only on the bathtub special edition. And that is slightly more, I think, in I have to work in dollars, $25. Whereas I think the box one we do for $20. And the reason that is you're not guaranteed. If the first edition doesn't do really well, we won't bring it out in a box.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the best of range. But because the first edition's out and the tooling's paid, it allows us to bring out a slightly cheaper.
Nice.
Same duck. So we don't lose any detail. It's exactly the same duck, but it's not first edition. It's not got the bathtub. It probably won't have the other reason for getting rid of the smells was you can't put smells in a box because it stinks.
Ah, okay.
The bathtub, it's like, what do you call them? Those bell jars for candles?
Yeah.
It keeps the smell in. I know this because we did Star Wars candle sets and we put them in boxes. And
because it probably gets absorbed into the box too.
Yeah, it just seeps
changes
out.
The smell too. Yeah.
You know, any retailer who's stocking a lot of Lemmy, Quack Daniels, would smell everywhere sort of thing. So basically we went, okay, we've got two different customers, so let's make two different products, really. So that was the reason for doing it. But the first editions, everything will come out in a bathtub, but the best of range comes out back again in a box for your casual duck collector.
Nice. I will say too, like I'm a really bad collector. I do take stuff out of the box and like play with it. But I've actually kept all the little bathtubs, even though I have them all up here. I still have all the bathtubs. The only thing I've kept boxes for, like it's all like in my like cabinets and everything right there. Cause they're so unique and they're so cute. And like one day maybe I'll put them back in there when I have like a space that it could sit into the tub, you know, like this is just easier to mount it on the wall like that.
Yeah. We even put dimples on the top so they could stack and things like that.
That's what
so.
I used to have them stacked like that. Yeah. But now I'm just like, I kind of like it like this. One more question. And this is very important. Do you think you'll ever have so people can like custom order ducks that look like themselves? Because that's something I've always wanted to do.
And it's funny that you say that. Because my son was like, can we get a Monica duck or a Benny duck?
Oh my God, we've looked at this. So, you know what? There's not, I can't believe, and I shouldn't even have to say this, but they've never made a duck of me. I am the duck farm.
You should have been the prototype.
Yeah, exactly.
I shouldn't have to ask. I shouldn't have to demand one. Just be nice one day to come in. Although I don't know. I don't know how flattering it would be. But I would love to do it. We've researched it. I want to call it Go and Duck Yourself.
I love it.
Just the name alone.
That's epic.
Because I know the Funko ones have done it, and they're great. They're really great. And how much you can swap out and change. It's too early at the moment, but definitely in the future, I'd love to do it. We've just got to find out how we can do it to make it kind of cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, changing how many different hairs and how many different bodies. It's kind of a little bit easy with the Funkos because the bodies and the heads are separate. Whereas ours are kind of intertwined, if you know what I mean. So,
right.
But we definitely look. I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it. You know, we've even looked. Could we do it as an app? So the 2D, so you can do it on a page, which will be a lot easier. But yeah, just because we've got the name, Go Duck Yourself. We've got to do something with it. So,
yes. All right, I'm looking out for that. And as soon as you get it, I'm ordering one.
Yes, definitely.
I will have to make a Monica at my son's request regardless. Because that's the first thing he said your name before me. He said, they got to make a Monica duck. Yeah, I'm like,
that's so nice.
And I'm picturing it. I'm like, the hair and everything, it would really work.
Yeah,
that's awesome. It would. You'd make a great duck.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
As you would, Benny, as well. As you would. I won't leave you out.
I mean, look, one thing I always say is custom stuff is fantastic. Nope, not enough people give enough love for the chops. Chops are almost never an option, even in games.
It's a weird thing that I can see you both as ducks. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but
definitely a blessing, 100%.
Agreed. Well, listen, Matt, thank you so much for your opportunity.
No, thank you.
This was fantastic. Again, we'll have a lot of explicit beeps, and we'll make sure that whatever we can talk about, we'll talk about.
No,
we appreciate it. It's a very exciting time for you.
I would love to come on again when I've got some new exciting products to show you guys and, you know, you get you some more, especially if we re-sign Resi and we get some stuff. I'm going to come on here first as an exclusive, I promise.
God, yes, thank you.
We appreciate that. You're welcome anytime. And I'm sure the next show that you're out here in the States, we'll definitely connect. And
yes.
If I can get Monica there.
When the next New York Toy Fair is, but...
I think that, you know, because of the delay last year, I'm assuming it's going to be around the October time again, probably to go right before New York Comic Con. So that's my thought. Probably. But did you end up staying for both shows? That's the one thing I didn't ask. Because obviously it was like, I think a week or two later. So obviously to travel.
I was weirdly, and you won't know this coming from the US, but I had to go back and do a show in the UK in a place called Blackpool. And anyone from the UK will know there's nothing glamorous about Blackpool. It's a seaside town in the north of England. So I went from New York. I didn't even unpack. I went straight to Blackpool for a week. So
Wow, okay. A lot of traveling.
I don't know what the equivalent would be for the US for Blackpool, but it's not as glamorous.
Okay. Any shows lined up where we can, you know, let our viewers know where you might be?
Yeah, I'm trying to see what we got lined up for this year. We're hoping to, you know, the weird thing was, and I know this sounds weird with the Ducks, and I think it's because of COVID. We have a range of nearly 300 cosplaying Ducks, and we still haven't taken them to cosplaying events. And I think we had the plan, and we were going to do it, and then COVID hit, and then the shows went, and these shows are expensive to go to as well. You know, yes. The money they want, it's cheaper to sign Cyberpunk than go to some of these shows. Often. But I really want to get the Ducks and the products out on the road and do some road shows. So we're talking to quite a few people in the US to see if they'll kind of do it on our behalf and take it and go there. But we'll definitely be doing the New York, and we're doing Gamescom and those. We kind of take it in turns. I'm 50 now. That destroyed me, New York. On your feet for that long.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
That's like proper work. I haven't done proper work for a long, long time, and that was really hard. I was crippled.
Yeah, so it's rough. So,
we've got a lot of shows. I'll let you know where they are, because I don't. But we're definitely going to do the US. It's really weird. We're still not as well known in the US as we are in the UK, probably because obviously that's where we started. So, like the Beatles, we want to crack America, and I think we're getting there. We've got some really good stuff. Five Below have been really supportive, and they're taking the mini tubs. Go and check those out, people. And they've got some more of those going in. But yeah, we're still. It's hard. The US is so big. I know that sounds obvious, but.
You know, I mean, Matt, I do have a friend that works at Fan Expo that like helps.
I was literally.
So if you want his contact, yeah, definitely give it to you. Yeah,
drop us a line. So we're always looking for it because it's so difficult. And you've got to, you know, we're UK based, so you've got to have sometimes, you know, boots on the ground sort of thing. And I think it's still the cosplaying Ducks. It's still quite a you know, when we went to New York Toy Fair. I'd say 99% of people went, wow, I've never seen these before. And you're like, which is great, but also shows us how far we've got to go.
You know how many times I've shared pictures of ducks like on all my like social media. So I was like, this is the duck I have today.
Well, this goes back to what you said earlier.
More of you.
Yeah, I would say it goes back to what you said earlier about the retailers. I know we're extending the show. This is, I think, is a good topic to finish up on. Just the idea of the disconnect. You know, the toy fair is closed to the public. It's a trade show. So it's for people to get to know the product. So obviously that's the opportunity for them to get to know it. Because when you think about, you know, when you're shopping everything, again, that disconnect is you're not really talking to another fan most of the time. You're talking to a business person. You're talking to somebody that's thinking in numbers and dollars and not the aspect of what you're selling. So it's tough, but I think the toy fair gave you a better visual display to kind of make that stamp, you know what I mean? So
we had a really good meeting with Hot Topic, and we've done emails backwards and forwards with Hot Topic, but when they saw the product and I met the guys, and they were great guys, and again, it makes a difference when you can see the sort of people. You sometimes meet people in suits who are just looking at the numbers, and then you meet people who you can see are real fans. And we met those guys and we got on great, and we talked about it. And it's like, why is this not in Hot Topic? Why are these ducks not in Hot Topic?
Especially the anime ones, for the record.
Well, this was funny too. We did a big road show of the US looking at, and we're like, you know, we've got to get anime. If we can't get anime into Hot Topic, you know, we're doing something wrong. So I'm hoping to get that done with the guys, but it makes a massive difference meeting people in the flesh rather than an email bouncing backwards and forwards and stuff. So more shows, unfortunately, although I might just do half of them because I'm over 50.
No, it makes sense. Well, you got a great team behind you, so I think that the sky's the limit, and we definitely wish you the best, and obviously anything we can do to help spread the word, we're happy to do that.
Excellent. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. But thank you, everybody. We hope you have a great day. Remember, take care and have fun.
Bye, everybody.